Okay, so we'll begin today with Mishnah Aleph in the sixth parak. Again, it's, I'm referring to a Mishnah. It's not really, it's a Brisa, as we discussed yesterday in the introduction. We have a very, it's a long Mishnah, a long Brisa, which has a teaching of Reb Meir regarding the value of someone's Osik B'Torah. And he begins by saying, Reb Meir Omer Kol Osik B'Torah L'Shma Zochel L'Dvarim Harbe. Someone's Osik B'Torah L'Shma. So there are a few things I wanted to focus on, just on that phrase alone. Osek, it doesn't say kol halomei Torah, it says kol osek b'Torah. And I think that that's an important distinction. We know that our nusach of the bracha and birchas haTorah in the morning is lasok b'divrei Torah. That the other Rishonim have different girsa, which Sfaradim use today, al divrei Torah, but the expression lasok b'divrei Torah implies an involvement or an engagement beyond just learning. And I think that whether you use that Lashon in Birchas Torah or not, is not my issue now. But I think Reb Meir is using this terminology very specifically in this Brisa, because Kol Osek B'Torah, as we'll see, someone's involved in Torah. And we've mentioned already a few times in the past that Limud HaTorah is not just an intellectual pursuit to sharpen your mind, which it does, there's no doubt. It's an intellectual discipline, and it certainly serves to sharpen your mind, etc., etc. But Lamaisa, it's much more than that. And Osek B'Torah means somebody who is involved in Torah. It doesn't mean when I'm sitting with a Gemara open or Shulchan Aruch or Pirkei Avos or whatever you're learning, Chumash. Okay, but it means that it's something that occupies your thoughts really at all times. Most people, realistically, are not able to spend the whole day sitting and learning. People have a parnosa, people have other pursuits in life and other things to do. But if all that is framed with Torah, that's Osek B'Torah. Everything you do is Osek B'Torah. So I think, as we'll see, you'll see as we go through the rest of the Brisa today, why that's an important choice of verbs by Reb Meir. The other point is Osek B'Torah L'Shma. So we know that the difference in Torah L'Shma, Torah Shalom L'Shma, and so on. L'Shma usually means for its own sake, for its own not for any ulterior motives, not to gain any reward. If you remember back in the first mission, the first parak, had the statement of Antigonus Yisocho, said we should not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with intent to get a reward and so on. But the truth of the matter is, the goal in Limud HaTorah is to do it because of its own value, its own independent value. And it's interesting because he concludes this phrase by saying, Zochel Advarim Harbe. If you do it, you get a lot of things. Well, does that take away from it, right? If you're going to get all these things, then, is that Torah Lishma exactly? What I think he means, that Lishma means that it's simply, it's not for any self gain. Ultimately, it brings you gain, but that's not supposed to be your motivation behind it. It does not take away. That's the famous introduction of the Avnei Nezer, one of the great Chassidus Rebbes and genius Talmud Chacham, who wrote the Sefer Eglei Tal on Melachos of Shabbos. I think I referred to it once earlier in the series. The Eglei Tal goes through Tal Tes Lamed, Lamed Tes Melachos. Alom de Shasefer has a lot of details about the 39 Melachos. He has a famous introduction in which, the introduction, he speaks about Torah Lishma. And he says, if one enjoys his learning, does that mean you're not doing Lishma? After all, I enjoy. Right, so I get pleasure out of it, so it's not lishma. So he said, no, that gufa is the mitzvah. Okay, he said that's not, and this is rooted in Rishonim. Okay, I think Rav Avraham and Ahar has this in a commentary in the Dharm. I don't think Avnezer quotes, he probably didn't have those form available, but the thought already is rooted in Rishonim, that enjoying one's learning, it does not take away from Torah lishma, even though it does bring you that pleasure, because that gufa is the purpose. The purpose of it is to give you pleasure. So if we take that thought and apply it to this Brisa here, Reb Meir is saying that that's the purpose, an automatic result. It's not what you're doing it for, it's just an automatic result. It doesn't take away from the idea that you're doing it lishma. So the person who studies Torah because it brings him close to it, in other words, the Torah is its own reward. And it's true that the mitzvah is its own reward. Tzchar mitzvah, which we learned earlier, okay, the reward of a mitzvah is itself a mitzvah, so to speak. Okay, the truth is that, of course, Chaim Volozhiner spoke very in great detail, and the Nefesh HaChaim, and also his commentary on Pirkei Avos about Torah Lishma. In the olden days, not that long ago, yeshivas did not give smicha. He got smicha from individual rabbonim. The yeshivas were not set up as a smicha institution. There was no smicha program, you know, in Volozhin or in the great yeshivas in Europe. People got smicha because the Rosh Yeshiva, or the Rebbe, whoever it is that learned with them and gave them bechinas and so on, felt that they were ready to get smichas chachamim, but it wasn't an official program, okay? Never like an ordination program. Why? Because that wasn't the goal of the yeshiva. The goal of the yeshiva was Torah Lishma. It was not towards an end to get like a graduate degree. Okay, it's different today for many reasons. I'm not criticizing the situation today, but the fact of the matter is they felt that it would take away from Torah Lishma if you're doing it only for the sake of, you know, not Torah Lishma, they learn Lishma. Now, Talmidim who was Zocha, who deserved it, and so on and so forth. So they got smicha afterwards from the Rosh Yeshiva, from the Rebbeim, whoever signed their, you know, their smicha. Anyway, that's the idea of Torah Lishma. And it mentions certain things in this brisa, which I want to just go through, which are called Olam Kulo Kedai Hulo. Okay, that's a strong statement. The whole world, the creation of the universe, is worth it just for this. How can that be? Just because you learned Torah Lishma? So again, what is Torah Lishma? Why are you doing it? And again, I stress going back to what I said before about Osek, this is your entire Weltanschauung, so to speak, is around Torah. It means that you have an awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. A person whose life is Torah-oriented is, so to speak, walking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the next phrases indicate, Nikra Reya, Ahuv, Oives HaMokom, right? There's a relationship that a person has, Misameches HaMokom, and so on. He has Anova, Yira, the Tzadik, Chassid, Yashar, Neman, all these things that are listed in his Brisa. So one aspect is that it means that a person is aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in whatever he does. Okay, someone who learns Torah Lishma, well, you're not doing it because I got to get a degree or I got to get a good grade or pass the test or whatever, but you're doing it because of the value of Torah itself. So that brings you, that means you have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Reya and Ahuv, okay? The Rambam borrows that in Hilchos Tshuva, that famous passage in the seventh parak, Hilchos Tshuva, that someone did Tshuva is now called the Reya and Ahuv. But here it says, Oives HaMokom. Right, you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why you do it. Okay, your relationship with Torah is such that it brings you to awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, going back to Osek, it doesn't mean just while you're learning and when you're sitting in the Daf Yomi Shir, if that's a person can do, or he has a chavrusa a few hours a night or whatever it may be, the rest of the day he's doing whatever else. But involvement, Osek, okay, and again, the concept of, I've mentioned in the past, of halacha. The word halacha means by that by which you go. It's everything that's with you. B'chosai teilechu. Okay, which means shetia amelim b'torah. Same idea of amelus and osek b'torah and so on. It governs your whole life. The person's always aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in that sense, that's what the world was created for. The world was created for man to benefit from and to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. He didn't create the world because he needed anything. Can't speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu needing something. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the opportunity to enjoy life and to benefit from the beauty that he presented us with and acknowledge him for it. So that's what it means. Okay, if you're also with Torah Lishma, then by definition, kol olam kulo kedai lo, that's what the purpose of creation was, to have people, beings, and human beings, okay, as opposed to animals who could perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we speak about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the Melech, and we focus on that in Rosh Hashanah. And we say in Rosh Hashanah that on Rosh Hashanah was the day the world was created. It's not really correct. Okay, the day the world was created was several days before Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the creation of man. We say Hayom Haras Olam, okay, but it's the creation of man, right? I mean, it was the sixth day of creation. The world was created, the 25th of Elul, so to speak, was when the universe was created. Assuming we count days the same way, I don't go into that problem right now, but Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the creation of man, not the creation of the world. Why is that then significant, the creation of man? Because until man was created, there was no being on earth capable of understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. Right? Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's coronation, so to speak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech long before man was created. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always the Melech. But what good does it do if there's nobody to recognize that Malchus? You know, if you go to a desert island someplace, nobody else there, and you announce that you're the king. Well, that's great. Okay, you're the king. Good. So there are a few squirrels and whatever else, you know, birds. What does it mean? It doesn't have any meaning. It only has meaning when there is creatures capable of understanding and showing you that respect, etc. So Kadosh Baruch Hu being the Melech, who's Melech from the beginning of Bris Olam, before Bris Olam, but until the creation of Adam that we could recognize, then that's when the Malchus becomes significant. So again, a person who has that awareness of Kadosh Baruch Hu all the time, Kol Olam Kulo Kedai Hu Lo. And again, the result of Torah is that you have the relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu, but also it says in the Brisa, Oivus Habrios. It heightens or sharpens or betters your relationship with people as well. Because again, if you're learning Torah Lishma, so then the message of the Torah sinks in. You're not doing it just because I got to memorize facts, but it sinks in and you see how the Torah speaks about everything that I'm picking up is relating with other people and other types of statements. It gives you a sense of respect and so on for relationship with other people, and it keeps you away from Anova and from Gaiva, brings you to Anova and Macharto. The Otsadik enables you. It enables you to become a Chosav Yasher and to have Zchus and so on. And ultimately, it says Menen and Meno Eitz of Sushia. Okay, and based on a pasuk, right? People will turn to you for advice. Okay, when a person is able to see, when other people can see that this person is somebody who is, close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he deals with people in a certain way, that people will seek him out. And finally, the Mishnah says, you become Kemayan HaMizgaber. Mayan HaMizgaber is an expression used for somebody usually who's such a big Tamar Chacham, it just is water, like a spring. That fountain that's constantly springing forth water, and that refers to someone. Usually, we use that expression, "My name is Gaber," that a person is such a Talmud Chacham, he knows so much, he gives shiurim all the time, and "My name is Gaber," But the truth of the matter is, on a simpler level, a "My name is Gaber" is a spring or fountain that replenishes itself, so to speak. The water comes up, and there's a water cycle in general, but the water of a fountain, a spring, is constantly replenishing itself, right? And I think that the term that applies, anybody, again, who's committed to Torah, is constantly looking for ways to improve and to strengthen that relationship. So it's not only that it helps other people. Mine is a good thing to have. It provides water for people. But Manam Iskara means, I think, a strengthening fountain. Okay, nourish and oposek, like the river, it doesn't stop, right? It's constantly there. Finally, also, it says, umegalto, umegadalto, umaramto, al kolamasim. It elevates the person, okay? It makes him great above all things. What does that mean? So on a simple level, it means, you're higher than everything else. But I think it means something else also. Meramamto kol amasim means it gives you a perspective on kol amasim, on everything from above. Not in the sense of greater, although that too, but I'm talking about a different level. Meramto kol amasim lets you see things from above. You can see a bigger picture. Okay. I remember when I mentioned this in the past, in MTA for many years, the 11th grade physics class would go, they would take, if they learned about how a suspension bridge works, they would go to the George Washington Bridge. And at that time, on the New Jersey side, there was a sort of like an office and so on. They have a little, not exactly a museum, just a room that talks about the building of the bridge, have pictures of how it was built and so on. And every year, somebody would come, one of the officials there, chief engineers or whatever, would come and speak to the boys, and they explain how a suspension bridge works. And I don't have great expertise in physics. One year I went along. And so I accompanied, and I sat and listened to the presentation. And then afterwards, they take you up to the very top of one of the towers. Okay, it's a cool thing. I don't know if they're doing it nowadays, but this was a number of years ago. So I went to the very top of the tower on the New Jersey side, and one of the towers was the Southernmore Tower. They take an elevator up to a certain point. They walk up steps. Anyway, it was a beautiful day, and you had an expansive view of both. You look towards New York City. And they turn around and look towards New Jersey. New Jersey, a lot more trees and grass, by the way, from that vantage point. But anyway, and I actually see some of the YU buildings. But anyway, it just gave you, when you're on top of something, you can look at something and see things in a very different way. Most of us have, vision of something that's right in front of our eyes, and we it in front of us and deal it that way. Someone who has insight in the Torah and a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to see things, a bigger picture. You can see a bigger picture. So I wanted to suggest that that's what this brisa means. Not only in the sense that it great, makes him a greater person above everything else. Okay, that may be the simple pshat, but I'm saying over here that you can see things from, you know, from way above and therefore understand more about what you see. You can see things in context. You can see things in a way that, you know, again, we're used to today looking at something right in front of us and reacting. And the person that goes back to what we said earlier, the person from whom you want advice is someone who can see a bigger picture. Right, you know, you want someone who sees, you know, what's going to be and how this fits into a broader context and so on. And so all of this can come from studying Torah, but Dafka studying Torah Lishma, where you let what you're learning sort of sink in and shape who you're, and your personality. It goes back to what I started with, he chose the verb Osik B'Torah Lishma rather than Lomid Torah Lishma. Of course, we know the Gemara tells us that it's better to learn Shalom Lishma. Okay, if one has to, because mitov shalom lishma bal lishma, eventually you'll get to lishma. But the value of this brisa is to stress the notion of learning lishma, and again, meaning that you're not doing it for a particular result or a particular goal, but you're doing it because you have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that sort of informs your entire personality to the point that, you know, it brings all these good things. So these good things, the way I see it, are not so much a reward, because it's not a reward, it's a consequence. It's a result, okay? You know, the fact that you're tzaddik and chassid and yosher and neman and racham and chait, all the things that mentioned in the Brisa, it's not a reward for that, it's just an automatic consequence. So that's the little bit about the value of Torah Lishma. Okay, have a good day. And with that, I'll send you both yesterday's and today's.